Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever and whenever you happen to be in this great wide world that's connected to each other on the internet. We are once again back, the last three guys to do a podcast, coming at you for our 19th episode, as it is 7 days before the Super Bowl. I'm John Moore, here to talk about all things Super Bowl, because that is the only game in town. It's the only thing in town worth mentioning, as all of Atlanta gets ready to host the big game for the third time in it. Our storied history, the world's eyes shine to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots. They're coming, and we're going to make our way down to Super Bowl 53. We don't have tickets, needless to say, but we'll be hanging out somewhere along the way, either on in CNN Center, the atrium right next door to Mercedes-Benz, or we haven't quite figured out where we're going to go, but also tomorrow, it's the opening party, and we will be there. Probably not broadcasting live, probably not streaming live. We'll just be collecting some interviews, going out and just see what we can see, and just kind of get a lay of the landscape on for this. So if you're coming down on Super Bowl Sunday, we will be definitely have word out about where we're going to be, who's going to pick us up as we try to basically crash the Super Bowl. Probably won't get into Media Row. I don't think we're that much yet. But in terms of a public area where we can hang out and congregate, we're just going to find some power outlets and just go with some live streaming, either on Facebook Live or YouTube channel. One of those areas, so you can catch us then. Again, we'll have all the information coming to you on basically our Twitter feed. We'll have that, John_Morgo, JOHN_MORGO. And Daniel Bolton's Facebook, Leon's, and our Facebook as well. And we'll have all that information. So come see us, come say hi, and we'll get your impressions about what's going on. Looking forward to that. And who knows, maybe we might even try making it into some of the main concourse should the weather prevail and it be warm enough. Because if it's not that cold, as if it's cold, we're not gonna go out there. We're not crazy. But we'll be taking MARTA down, and that's going to be fun, taking all of our broadcasting equipment on MARTA, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of strange looks from there. But that is the plan right now. It's something we've been looking forward to all season long. We've been trying to get our game focused, trying to get plans for that, so looking forward to that. And guys, in terms of counter-programming, I don't mean the Puppy Bowl, but there are some NBA games. Now, I remember back in the day, the NBA used to take this day off, but they've got a couple of games going on us on this Super Bowl Sunday, including a pretty good Boston game. I think I'll double check who that is. But the NBA is not taking the day off, and I just want to get your opinion as to that. And I'll just because I need to definitely look at what NBA games we have on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's going to be coming up right in a moment. I think there's three of them. And let's just check that out for a second. Super Bowl Sunday, NBA. Yes, there's three games. Memphis at New York, Clippers in Toronto, and Oklahoma City at Boston. It's kind of interesting that the NBA is trying to put some good games on in the afternoon. Daniel, what do you think about that? Those three games?
You will have that NBA game. What time does that game start at? 2?
Two or three.
Maybe over by 5.
Yeah, probably 2 or 3 o'clock. They're probably going to start it at 2 because they don't want it to overlap the Super Bowl. Nothing overlaps the Super Bowl, you know?
No.
So, I mean, that's basically just what that is. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I think that that's going to be a very interesting game. Boston would have played a bunch of games beforehand, but a nice little bounce back game from the loss they suffered to the hands of the Warriors last night. So there's another way of redeeming themselves if they don't do it by the time they get to next Sunday's game.
Yeah, and speaking of games or lack of paying attention to, the AFC beat the NFC 26-7
in the Pro Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Down in Orlando, I believe it was held. Goes back to Hawaii, I think next season is where it goes back. The NFL trying to experiment in Florida this season. But it's just they're trying to make people care about the Pro Bowl when, honestly, nobody does. Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. They put it a week after the Super Bowl. No one cares. They put it a week before the Super Bowl. No one cares. Yeah. If you're going to have go ahead, Daniel.
And I think the reason, I'm sorry about that, John, and I think the reason why, guys, is because in the last, I'm going to be nice here, 7 years or so that the Pro Bowl has existed, we haven't seen football. It's been kind of like two-hand touch.
Right.
And I think that's what the whole problem with it is. A lot of people don't want to get hurt. They just want to play. Then why suit up, you know, if you're not willing to play? I mean, most of you guys are not. You're not going to play until about 6 or 7 months. And I'm not saying that you go out there, you tear an ACL, you do whatever you need to do. But if you look at Major League Baseball, you remember that year where they experienced, where they made it count.
Right.
Where that game actually counted, where the winner, what the league's winner got home field advantage in the World Series, and we know how much that means in Major League Baseball. In basketball, no, it hasn't counted. You know, for basketball, it's nothing but an exhibition and like a pickup game.
Yeah, no one plays defense. But to be fair,
right,
that still draws an audience because people like pickup games. People like 3-on-3.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A lot of people like the flashiness of basketball.
Right. So,
and if I had to rank, including the NHL, if I had to rank my top all-star games, mine would be the NBA first, because I think that whole weekend is the best weekend you could have. Even though the dunk contest has kind of lost its flair, but every time you say that, it's always a dunk contest that brings you back.
Yes.
You know? So that's All-Star weekend. And then Major League Baseball's All-Star game is still good, too, because you have some great, you have some bright stars. You have some stars that's going out, stars that's coming in. If you love baseball, then you love the pageantry of it. And the home run derby still gets it.
Yes.
It still gets it for me. So that's one. And the NFL, the Pro Bowl falls third because it's football.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get into hockey until the Stanley Cup. So
yeah, that's why it was fourth. Yeah, and if if the Atlanta still had the Thrashers or still cared, you know, we might bump it up a little bit. But let's be on. But you know, that whole debacle of about 5, 6, 7 years ago, where Atlanta lost the Thrashers, that really wasn't Atlanta's fault. The people that bought the club had absolutely no interest in the hockey team. They were the hockey was just the redheaded stepchild that got stuck with what they really wanted. You know, they wanted the Hawks, and they didn't care about the Thrashers. And they were looking to get rid of them at the first possible moment. That's an entirely separate issue. Where it's one of those things where it's like the ABC show Cavemen. Everybody knew it was going to be a disaster, except the people who were taking part in it. But you know, that's a separate issue as well. And honestly, though, now that we're in Atlanta United territory, now the MLS All-Star Game, which I believe was here this season, and it might actually be here next season. Now that this town has situated itself as the Mecca for professional soccer, taking over from, I guess, Seattle, you would probably be the best example of that. You might want to, you know, put that in your rankings as well. Move that up in your charts, because that's what is happening here. Although now that the Atlanta Silverbacks I think they finally officially put the nail in that coffin. Arthur Blank just kind of smothered it out of existence. So. And now, or actually not so much the Silverbacks, but the Atlanta United 2 team that was in Gwinnett, but now it got moved over to Fifth Third Bank Stadium up in Kennesaw for that one. So, but again, we're getting pretty far afield right now. We're talking, this is the last three guys to do a podcast, John Morgan, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton, talking Super Bowl, the big week that's coming. We've already talked about the weather, we've talked about the traffic, we've talked about the entertainment, we've sort of touched upon the game, and you know, about how you want to watch the Super Bowl, how the Super Bowl has become so a spectacle in and of itself, regardless of what happened, how basically time will stop when, as people debate who is the halftime show, Maroon 5 gets the nod this season, and, you know, where they're trying, the NFL trying so desperately not to offend anyone, and that's why they're just going bland vanilla, although you got to give them credit this time. They've gotten away from the 70-plus rock act that they usually figure won't offend anybody. So we've just tried to figure out, you know, exactly what's going on. We've talked about how the Patriots are once again now the evil empire, how the Rams are just kind of this upstart team with Todd McVay. Can Jared, and but here's my question now, how is Jared Goff going to react under the pressure, and what can Sean McVay do to alleviate that going in?
Well, I think what you have to do when you have that kind of situation and you want to, and you have a young quarterback like Goff is in his third year and first Super Bowl, first really big game in his career, is do what every other coach does with his quarterback, and that's run the football. And he can definitely do that. Depending on how healthy Todd Gurley is, he can do it with him. But C.J. Anderson has been the unsung hero for this team the last 6 or 7 weeks or so since he was signed. So you run the football on first down, maybe second down, and then, you know, get him some good looks, get him some 5-10 yard passes just to get a rhythm into the game. That's what you want to do if you're Sean McVay and you're Jared Goff. Let's get a rhythm going. Let's see what this. Let's get a feel of this game. But he also has to put in his mind too. But McVay doesn't really know, because this is McVay's first Super Bowl as well. So someone has to tell these guys that, hey, you can't play this one game like you've been playing all the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. This is a whole different game. You have to play damn near perfect to win this ball game. And if you don't, one slip, you can't give Brady one chance, or else he'll gut you.
Right.
But, you know, and Brady and company, and that's what Brady's telling the young guys over on his side of the field. You know, listen, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the pageantry. But remember, we still have business to take care of. But going back to Goff and company, open it up on first and second down, run the football, control the clock. Get Goff comfortable within the ball game so that he can make the throws, the necessary throws that we know this guy can make, and he's made for the last two seasons.
And my question now, my next question, guys, is, and Leon, I'll let you take this. You're Sean McVay. You win the toss. Do you receive, or do you defer?
You receive, no question. You know, you gotta strike first. You gotta go off. The best thing that the Rams can hope for is to go off and hit the Patriots in the mouth early. You gotta do it early. You just can't just no three and outs. That has to be the mantra.
Well, the Falcons hit them in the mouth early 2 years ago, and that didn't seem to bother them.
And they sprained their ankles, but it didn't break their legs. They should have broke their legs. It should have paralyzed. I mean, that. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I didn't want to talk about that. Oh Lord, that 26 points. They blew a 26-point. You know, we're not going to bring that one up, Daniel. You know, yeah, but the Falcons definitely came and punched in their mouth, hit them with some combinations, stumbled them, even seemingly had them knocked out.
Right.
You know, but they unfortunately did not let off the gas. They started, you know, throwing the ball three and outs. You know, but the mantra for the Rams has to be no three and outs, especially late three and outs. No late three and outs. And don't do what Phillip Rivers did, Jared Goff. Don't let Thomas come through and just bully you like that. You know, you got to come through. You got to hold poise. You got to talk to Mr. Sue and company, and make sure they stay on Tom Brady's neck, if that's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
And make it happen. You know, hey, weirder things have happened during Super Bowl. I mean, Nick Foles was MVP last year,
right?
So, Jared Goff, I mean, there's, you know, he could potentially, you know, it could happen potentially. You know, but I want to see, but I definitely want to, if I'm a Rams, that's the only thing that came from picking a Rams was the status of Mr. Gurley. I gotta see an improvement. If there's no real improvement, it's gonna be like, ooh, that's, I mean, that's safe to say that he's about, what, more than 50% of offense?
Yes, he is.
So, you know, it's everything's got to go right. But just, to Mr. McVay, you know, hey, gotta make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so should be interesting. Now let's turn it around. If you're New England, you don't defer. You take it. No matter who gets the opening toss, they're going to receive. They're not going to defer.
Well, no, but you know, Belichick loves to defer.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he did defer in this game. And he would do that because he trusts in his system. He trusts in his quarterback. And he still will trust his defense. So if I am him, I would receive. I think if you're any of these, if you're any of these two offenses, you want to get on that field first. And for New England, it will probably be just to get those early game jitters out. Right. You know, that would be probably my only reason. If you trust in the system, if you bought into it, then you shouldn't have to worry about anything. You've been here before. You know how this thing goes for most of these guys that have played. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, just hoping to see a good game next Sunday.
Uh-huh. That's all we need, right? That's pretty much all we want. All we want, and especially how important it is to have a good game after the college football playoffs, where we didn't have any good games.
Man,
yeah.
I mean, how important is that?
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's really huge because, and in the last what? Three Super Bowls, the last three or four Super Bowls, we've seen some great games.
Right.
You know, of course, New England came back and beat the Falcons. You know, I hate to talk about it because it happened on my birthday. but, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But that actually turned out to be the first overtime game in Super Bowl history.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year, it came down to the final seconds, the final minutes of Hail Mary throw, in which Tom Brady couldn't complete against the Eagles. The Eagles won their first Super Bowl. But I think this has the makings of a great game. And you're talking about championships that didn't really do as well. You can even go to the NBA. And you can go to the finals last year. The only good game that came out of that was J.R. Smith's botch, where he passed the ball off with no time left, and Golden State actually ends up winning it in overtime in game one. But games two, three, and four, Golden State was showed why no one is a match for them, not even Cleveland and mighty LeBron James at that time when he was there. So still looking for that championship-esque kind of vibe to it. The World Series, I think, ended in five with Boston winning it over the Dodgers. So we're still looking for that championship. It just can't be the Super Bowl. It has to be something else.
Okay. Well,
in the last couple of championships, we haven't gotten it.
Well, let me tell you about a group of people who are not that thrilled that the Super Bowl is in Atlanta simply because of what they are forced to endure because of this. The Atlanta Hawks, let me just rattle off some numbers for you. January 23rd at Chicago. January 26th at Portland. January 28th at the Clippers. January 30th at Sacramento. February 1st at Utah. February 2nd at Phoenix. And February 4th at Washington.
Safe to say that was pre-planned.
Well, of course it's pre-planned because of, you know, they have to be out of town for the Super Bowl. But it's not as bad as the Atlanta Braves' month-long road trip during the 1996 Olympics. But if you're the Hawks, if you're a young team like the Hawks are, this is just, basically, this is the baton death march right here. Something that you just gotta try and get through and hope that it just builds your character down the road.
You know what this feels like? I feel like the film Office Space.
Okay.
Where everybody got some cake, with the exception of the character that went off and later came down and take the whole building down. You know, and plus, you know, right now the Hawks are trying to, you know, they're in tanking mode anyway.
Yeah, but they're not, I don't think they're really in we want to get Zion Williamson mode. Zion Williamson mode.
Well, they have a couple. Is it possible? I mean, I could be wrong here, but don't the Hawks have a couple picks that are going to be going elsewhere?
Well, they were. They do. But what happened was because the teams that that have the picks are doing so well, what were certain lottery picks are going to be mid draft level now.
It could happen.
So, but still, that is easily the longest road trip anyone's going to have in the regular season because, you know, you start off in Chicago, hit the West Coast for about 5 trips, and then instead of going home, you got to fly clear across to Washington before finally reaching Atlanta, game against Charlotte on February 7th.
Now, I'll be shocked if Zion came down to Atlanta. I'll be
Oh, I don't think he is either.
You know, but you know, speaking of to Bill's point about the great games, and you know, it's interesting that the NBA, the best games that we've seen during the playoffs were actually the conference championships. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Boston and Cleveland series coming down to the last game.
Right.
You know, the speculation of if Chris Paul wouldn't have got hurt. Could have changed history and Golden State have been dethroned. You know, the what if factor is there.
Exactly.
When it comes to the NBA championship, it kind of reminds you of a surgery that everybody knew was going to go wrong. You know, just come through, you have the priest waiting outside, you got the family already with the handkerchiefs in mind. You know, we knew that LeBron was going to L.A. You know, you don't get that with Super Bowls.
No.
At all. It could go either way. We haven't seen it. I haven't seen the last dull Super Bowl that I've seen, or one side of Super Bowl that I've seen, was maybe Seattle and Denver.
Okay.
Excuse me. That's about it.
Yeah.
Where the game was decided fairly. Actually, that was the first time the game has been decided on the first snap, when the ball just went over Peyton Manning's head and ended as a safety, I believe.
Right.
And it was just all downhill from there. Ice skating downhill. But, yeah, I believe it's going to be a great game. I feel that it will come down, you know, to the last possession, possibly. If it comes down, that's the thing about it, though. If it comes down to the last possession, I know last year Tom Brady didn't make it happen. But, you know, the same chip that the Rams have on their shoulder, which led them, I believe, to the Super Bowl, with that cross-country shellacking,
right,
that we've seen Atlanta put on them last year that fueled the fire. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the same chip on the shoulder that Tom Brady has and the New England Patriots organization has towards the Super Bowl this year.
I'd give Belichick credit for being able to position himself as the underdog with his team. And basically it's saying, hey, no one wants us here. Let's prove that this is still our league. And that's pretty much what Belichick is going to be giving his team. That's pretty much his message that he will be imparting throughout the week. And you know, he's going to with 2 weeks, he's going to have a nice little game plan designed to bottle up Todd Gurley, force Jared Goff in the air. If the Rams are going to want to win this, they're going to have to be able to throw the football.
Oh yeah, they're stacking the box. Oh, the Patriots will stack the box, and you know, like I said, Tom Brady It's been confirmed that Tom Brady has had 50 Cent's song on his Twitter. Many men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not lying because I didn't want to see him. I wanted to see Phillip Rivers, you know, go off and advance. You know, I will admit that I felt that Tom Brady was talking to me. When he said many men, which I don't wish death on a man like that, but,
right,
you know, I just wish, you know, for the Patriots to be a little dethroned by the Chargers. You know. But it's all good. I don't want to sound like I'm sour grapes.
You know, I think as far as the Patriots go, and it really, and what we haven't talked about, we've been talking about the two offenses, but there's some studs on that defensive side, on both sides of the ball, that I would be looking at. If there was a matchup in particular that I would look at from the Rams' point of view on the defensive side is, that defensive front against the New England Patriots offensive line. And guys, we already know what we're talking about here. Listen, if you can't win in the trenches, you don't win ball games. And that's what I think will come down to, especially in the last few minutes. Can Aaron Donald, who I've oftentimes said should be in the MVP discussion, can he single-handedly win, change the outcome of that ball game? And Ndamukong Suh is on that line too. So, and then as far as the Patriots go, what they would have to contend with, especially on third and long situations, is I would be looking at Jared Goff and that offense and the receiving core with Everett and Woods and Brandon Cooks, those guys against that New England Patriots secondary with McCourty, with the McCourty boys back there, and with Stephon Gilmore, who was probably their best defensive player this year. I think he was a Pro Bowler this year. So I would be looking in to that to see how that rolls and see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to look at the Ndamukong Suh factor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Defense is going to be very key. I mean, we keep talking about the offense, but the end, they got to get stopped. I mean, it's not going to be like the Vanderbilt Baylor bowl game where there was absolutely no punts, and every time a team got the ball, they scored a touchdown. So it's not going to be right. like that. You got to stop them at least one time.
Yeah, they got to. Yeah, that has to be the mantra for the Rams. Is no three and outs on offense, and defense has to be putting three and outs out, you know, against Tom Brady. But, you know, Tom Brady has struggled over the years against really good front sevens. Mm-hmm. If we look at the reason why a 9-7 2007 Giants team beat the Patriots, you know, the Patriots that year, I believe, had the greatest offense that we've ever seen, you know, the 55 touchdowns of Tom Brady.
Right.
20 of them, 25 coming by way of, 50 touchdowns by Tom Brady, excuse me about that, folks, and 25 touchdowns caught by Randy Moss, and were held to 17 points. Because of that John Pierre Paul and a bunch of brothers on defense whose names you can't pronounce were keeping the pressure on Tom Brady's butt.
Right.
And that's in when you look at a Rams defense that is spearheaded by Ndamukong Suh, amongst others. That's going to be the key. That's the only, we've seen the Patriots do away with great offenses. I mean, they faced an onslaught of a great offense from the Chiefs. But we know that great offense, you might win.
Yes.
You know, we score more than you, we might win. Because shootouts can go either way. But with great defense, so says the 1970s Steel Curtain, they have proven this.
Mm-hmm.
Great defense means we will win. So, it could go. And let's not act like the Patriots are any strangers to this, to great defenses. They actually put down the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, it could go either way, but I'm just, you know, if Todd Gurley was healthy, if he was healthy, you know, I believe, you know, in my heart of hearts, that the Todd Gurley factor will play in just like the Kareem Hunt factor played in with the Chiefs.
Exactly.
I hate to make that ugly, assumption, because at this point it's just an assumption. But I believe that, you know, we got to see it. We got to hope that Todd Gurley will be okay. Hopefully he's off getting and that soaking in that hot tub.
Exactly. Hope he is. All right, we're getting close to wrapping it up here. So we're going to go around the round table. And if you've got 60 seconds to say what's on your mind. And Daniel goes first.
All right, guys. So this past week they announced the Major League Baseball Hall of Famers. And I just want to give a salute to the four guys that got in. Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, the late, great Roy Halladay, and Mariano Rivera, and I forgot the fourth one, actually. The fourth one actually slipped my mind. But the one thing I want to talk about is the fact that Barry Bonds did not get in. Now, listen, I understand it. I get it. The four guys that actually got in should have gotten in, you know. those guys were well deserving of a Hall of Fame piece. But
Edgar Martinez,
to not put Edgar Martinez, and I can't believe I forgot it, the best DH hitter of all time. Okay, listen, those four guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right,
right? Mike Mussina, listen, one of the best left-handed pitchers, one of the most underrated left-handed pitchers of all time. Mariano Rivera made saves cool. He made it great, right? Edgar Martinez, the DH position was invented before him, but he made it to what he is now. David Ortiz would not be who he is if it wasn't for Edgar Martinez. And, of course, the late, great Roy Halladay, who left us way too soon.
Right.
Way, way, way too soon. But he made it to where no hitters in World Series and playoff games were normal, you know?
Yep.
So, but to not have Barry Bonds in here. Now, this is the same guy that he couldn't find any traces of steroids in there. He hasn't been sent to jail for obstruction of justice or anything like that. I think it's a travesty to leave this guy out. This may have been the greatest player in Major League Baseball history. This guy did some things that really no one, since really Pete Rose. Wow, we mentioned those two in the same breath, right? Those two guys not in the Hall of Fame for obvious reasons. But I think it's a travesty, and I think it's a shame that we continue to leave Barry Lamar Bonds out of the out of Cooperstown,
right?
Because of something that he allegedly did, not that he was proven guilty for. So maybe one year we will vote him in. I'm just going to let you know for the record that if I had a vote, if I was one of the guys that had a vote, I would definitely turn into that and give him. And I would give Barry Bonds my vote to be in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. But salute to the four guys that got in.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Now, Leon.
Oh, to stay on the concept of voting, I am kind of, you know, shocked that Anthony Davis did not make the Western Conference All-Star starting team.
Mm-hmm.
At least at this point, the starting team, with Paul George actually making it in ahead of Anthony Davis. And I get it. Paul George is having a great season. You know, he's actually, you know, a potential MVP candidate. You know, but when we look at the Western Conference All-Star starters, we have the LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Steph Curry, and James Harden. There has to be some balance. There's not one true big man that's in the starting five rotation, which is, I believe, an indictment of the direction the league has taken with this pro-offense running gun, four out, one in style, you know, play that we're witnessing. But you gotta put a big man as a starter. I've never seen a non-big man in that did not make the starting. You know, it's the same, and it's not the same in the Eastern Conference. In the Eastern Conference, you have Joel Embiid. You know, he's a big man. He will make the starting. He will make the starting five. But to put Paul George, who's a great player, I don't want to take anything from Paul George. I mean, his comeback from that gruesome compound fracture that he suffered is just epic.
Yes.
But to put him in ahead of Anthony Davis, you know, arguably a top five player in this league. I mean, I wouldn't put Paul George in my top five.
No.
You know, it's just my opinion. And I'm not taking anything away from PG-13. But I got to see someone like Anthony Davis in a starting five rotation. I mean, I know this is kind of like, I'm not saying this is the golden age of NBA talent, but this is a very talented league right now. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. We have the likes of Damian Lillard may not make the All-Star game, but you know how much of a factor he is. Chris Paul would not make the All-Star game this year, even though he's been injured. But it's safe to say, even if he was not injured, he may not make the NBA All-Star team. And he will be a Hall of Famer one day.
Right.
And he will be a major factor in the playoffs upcoming. So that's all. I'm shocked.
Okay, well, to get to Daniel's point, Roy Halladay and Mike Mussina, the family, the heirs of Roy Halladay have said that he doesn't want to have a logo on his cap, and Mike Mussina has gone the same route. So no logo on the cap for those two. Now, Wednesday night I was traveling with the Georgia State women's basketball team to Austin, Texas. Had a Delta flight. Supposed to leave at about 6:30, but there was a delay. And every half hour, the boarding time get pushed back further and further. And we were trying to figure out what was going on. They said it was some sort of service issue with the plane. Really not getting any answers. It was only later that it was discovered that through Twitter, a threat had been made against our specific plane. So, of course, Delta wasted no amount of security time making sure that this plane was ready to fly. They switched it out, brought the plane that was supposed to fly into the hangar, searched it from stem to stern, brought a new plane out, searched that one from stem to stern, took all the luggage that was put checked, searched those from stem to stern, and really went all out to preserve the security and sanctity of the flight. And we did get to Austin about, a couple hours late, but we got there safe and sound. And in a side story, I was interviewed for an Austin web affiliate that had a TV show, a news show from them about my experience, and while I did not get on the TV, my quotes was listed in the web feed of the story, and I said, better that we get there in one piece than not at all, or in many pieces, I suppose. But the point is, kudos to Delta. They handled this the right way. They didn't tell anyone. They didn't want to cause unnecessary panic. Safety was their priority, and they did succeed in getting their passengers to where they needed to go. And it worked out in Georgia State's favor because we wound up beating Texas State in San Marcos, Texas, by a score of 57-34, the worst loss in terms of points that Texas State has scored in the entire 8 years of Coach Zenere Antoine. So that is my little story from the weekend. All right, well, again, Super Bowl Sunday is this Sunday, and we're going to be doing something different. We're going to be doing live streaming from Super Bowl headquarters. We're going to be somewhere in the area, whether it might be in the CNN atrium, it might be outside, it might be wherever we can find a power outlet, but we will be there, and you can catch us on John_Morgo on our YouTube channel and on Facebook. We will have live streaming from the Super Bowl. And if you are in the area, if you are in the vicinity, come check us out. Come say hi. We'll let you on. We'll get your opinion as to what's going on. That is exciting. It's next week. It's something we've been looking forward to since this season started, since we started this podcast, about the possibility of giving you new features. And that is some of the features that we're going to do. So we're going to be with you next week. Thank you so much for joining us for
Leon Brown
and
Daniel Bolton.
I'm John Morgo. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell someone you don't know about the last three guys to do a podcast. It's our Super Bowl edition next week. Thanks so much. We'll see you then. Have a good night, everybody.